Welcome to Creating Cash Flow for February 13th, 2023. So Beth, you are a cash flow cat, and in addition to being an actor, you are a lawyer. And you wrote, "I'm setting my business plan for 2023. I just signed two contracts with firms for employment based on immigration cases, because as usual, I'm low on money on the first 2 months of the year. I agreed to co-counsel on a federal court case, but am in a similar trap as before. I also need to decide where to see clients. I realize the place where I have my virtual office is a much better business location, but it costs money. I think I should bill clients for the time and they will show up. But if they don't, I can pick up my mail and go to Costco. A client came to see me in the outer suburbs on Friday and took the bus for 3 hours, and I ended up giving him a ride back to the train station near the virtual office from the remote suburban location. So there's like two locations that we're talking about. We'll talk about that second. Are there any questions you have about setting your business plan?
Well, you know, I had told you that I was going to go a certain way, and I'm kind of doing that. I mean, I'm picking up these contracts, but the thing is, both firms that I have the contracts with do all types of cases. And I've been sent two cases by one of the firms. The first one was having to do with court cases, but it was just a short brief to write. It wasn't an appeal. And the other firm does all kinds of cases also. So, you know, what I've let them both know what my background is and what I'm capable of. But the thing is, I'm having challenges with my own cases because I win the cases, but there's another part of the case, which includes getting people a visa through the consulate. And I've had a lot of challenges with that second part, which is not easy for anybody, but, you know, if I include that for free, I end up spending a lot of extra time for free trying to follow up on that. And, you know, one of my colleagues posted something on one of our social media chat groups says, no, any follow-up I charge for. And I think I need to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that should be probably two separate things.
Yeah, I mean, it's not included in the contract, but I think I need to say specifically there will be a charge for any follow-up. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so for everyone listening, like logically, we can come to these conclusions. Like, yeah, sure, it makes logical sense to charge so that we can, you know, have that build for our time. But what, Beth, would be holding you back from doing that? Like, why haven't you been?
One thing is the one firm I just signed a contract with, I noticed that they say follow-up is included in what they're paying me. And I don't like that. That is actually not as good a deal as what I already have with these other two firms. But I decided to try and take a case with them. The thing is also, they're almost sort of like a clearinghouse where they just assign me the case and expect me to do everything. Whereas the other two firms still have their paralegals prepare forms and I'm just doing the writing.
Okay. So actually you didn't answer my question, but okay. I do want to talk about what you just said, but we're going to talk about that second. So in your own practice, why haven't you been charging for that?
I guess when I feel like I have to win. And when I don't feel like I should be charging. It's sort of like punishing myself for not winning by doing extra work for free. Yeah. But it's not my fault when these things happen.
Correct. So this is important for everybody to hear. You see how these weird little stories that we have in our mind can kind of cripple our doing business with clients, because you're absolutely right. And I'm so glad you have that awareness, but that is absolutely your choice to continue to punish yourself or to just do some business and get paid for your time. Now, here's the thing about what you were also talking about. If you are going to contract and do work for other law firms, my concern is how much energy you expend upon liking or not liking how they do their business and how you would then do it under them, because you have no control over that.
Right. And the thing is, I do that. What I do have control over is how many cases I take from them.
Right.
And whether I take cases from them or not.
Right. So that is where you have the control. And once you make a decision to take a case from them, just do it.
Just That's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to do it. And if I don't like it, and I have enough business from other sources, I might cut back on my work for them or not work for them. But what it is it's a cushion, just because I was worried because the money was really thin. And, you know, something that, I mean, I'm upset about, it's not directly related to business, but it sort of is my apartment complex is renovating. I'm going to move to a renovated apartment. It's going to cost more. And it's making me angry that I'm going to be spending almost as much on a one bedroom apartment as my brother is for his mortgage on his house. That makes me mad. And I'm angry that I'm in this situation.
Yeah. And it's okay to have those feelings. It's totally okay to be like, oh, well, I didn't ask to have it renovated, but now it's going to, and now I'm doing this. And yeah, totally. But I really suggest you start looking at what you're focusing on. And are you focusing on stuff that you have control and influence over, or stuff you don't? Because that's going to help you conserve your energy.
Right. I mean, what happened with the federal court case, the person I was doing writing for before, she asked me to write for her. And I wanted a co-counsel with this other attorney we work with, because it's really hard to do a federal court case all alone. But, you know, it's sort of what I suspected. She may farm the case out to her own associate to do her part, and have limited input. On the other hand, it takes the weight off me and not having the full burden of having to do the case for somebody who doesn't really participate. She, you know, I feel like this lawyer who wants me to do this for her, she goes through the motions and doesn't really get involved in the case herself. And I don't like that burden.
And it's okay to not like it.
It's okay to not like that burden, but this is the reason I co-counseled with this other attorney, because I don't want the whole burden myself.
Yeah. Sounds like a good decision.
Yeah.
So you have a virtual office that you rent out.
Yeah. And it's in a really great location. In fact, I had a friend visiting from LA and she said, wow, this looks like a rich person's office as opposed to some little square building somewhere. And the office where I had my client meet me is a little square building somewhere.
That's the suburban one you were talking about.
Yeah. I mean, this is sort of borderline suburban too, but it's urban suburban. There are a couple of places that are just on the outskirts of the city of Atlanta that actually have Atlanta mailing addresses.
So what's the decision, or what can I help?
Well, I guess I'm just thinking, you know, in the future, I think it would be easier for most people, unless somebody happens to live out there, if I just meet people in the Sandy Springs office, which is a lot closer and it's right near public transportation. So it's going to be a lot easier for most people.
Sounds logical.
Yes. But what I have to do, because I have to pay to rent that space, is I have to build that into the consultation
phase. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Yep. So try it.
I'm going to try that. I haven't done it yet, but I'm going to try that next.
Try it.
Having met the client all the way in Duluth, which, I mean, it's still a drive for me. Well, Sandy Springs is too, but it's closer to business and I can get other things done.
Yeah. So try it and see if you can find clients who can pay whatever increased rate that is and go for it.
Yeah, I think I'll do that. And then there's just one more kind of tangential question. I've been on a committee for one of my professional associations, and we're in the period where we're applying for committees for next year. And I talked to the chair and asked her what her feedback is on me being on the committee again. And she said, it's completely up to you. I have nothing to do with it. So I'm kind of taking that as she doesn't care. And it would be better for me to free up my time and not do this committee work.
Yeah. That's great. That's great that she wasn't trying to keep you.
Yeah.
Because then that would be harder for you to say no to. So yeah, it's almost
like, I'm thinking, the thing is, I'm taking this time out from my work for all these committee meetings, and I'm wondering, well, why? When I should be doing other things.
Yeah, the stuff you like and the stuff that brings joy and the artistry.
Yeah.
Stuff.
Yeah.
100%. Yep. You're on the right track, Beth. Sounds good to
me. Yeah, I mean, I keep going around in circles, but I'm getting closer, I think.
Yeah, we keep going around in a spiral, but we're homing in on the center of it. Good job. Hi, Marisol. Are you there? Just checking. Hi, everybody. I'm Christine Aller, by the way. Welcome to Creating Cashflow. I see some new faces. Very exciting. Brandon, hello.
Yeah. Welcome. Hey, Chris. Good to be here. I'm excited.
Oh, awesome. So Marisol, I saw a question kind of flow into my inbox, but I stopped looking at my inbox an hour before.
I saw that.
Session. Yeah. So, but what have you got?
A lot of procrastination, Christine, I'm not going to lie. And I know that's like some sort of deep rooted internal resistance to whatever. I don't even know, but, I went through the motions of creating just like a one sheet of jotting down, like what it would be like to, coach with me. It feels so, I'm judging it so much, but I'm doing it anyway. And I just really think that, I'm just not certain how I would be able to, like, how do I make money doing this? Like how do I monetize the idea that I have that I could do this, that I could offer some sort of help, you know?
Okay.
Yeah.
So how does your acting coach monetize?
He really came to me through word of mouth.
You're asking, how do you market your service? Because how you monetize your service is you charge money for it.
Well, yes. So yes, I guess, yes.
How do you get clients is what you're saying, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So you start with telling everyone you know. That's what the PDF is for. You don't have a website yet, but you can create this little PDF, which is fine. If you don't, you can start making money without a website. I made money without a website before websites even existed.
Yeah.
But you can create a little PDF that says, this is what I do. This is how we'd work together. This is what I charge. This is how you contact me. Those are the questions everyone has. Then you tell everyone you know that you are now doing this. And the reason you tell everyone you know is because you don't know who your friends know. Your friend who's not in the entertainment business at all might know somebody in the entertainment business. And this is why you can't just say, I do acting coaching.
Yeah.
It's too vague.
Yeah.
And people are like, well, I don't need to spread the news about this, or I don't need to hold this in my brain because my friends already know where they can go for acting coaching. But when we talked about last time is, this is what I do. And I take my writer's brain and I apply it here. And we do story, which is, you know, if you've listened to Audrey's podcast, she's always talking about actors doing the arc of a story in an audition. And if your auditions aren't gaining the traction you think they are, especially at your level of craft, the story element is probably what's missing. Let me coach you with that. Oh, Now people know, oh, what I need to listen for are my actor friends who are going, my auditions aren't working. I don't know what it is. Like, get these auditions, I never get a call back. Like, you can even put that in your PDF. So if you hear people say any of these sentences, they probably need to work with me. And then you write those sentences out so that the person hearing about you is like, oh my God, I was just sitting at lunch the other day and my friend said this. So people need to, one, know that you're doing this. Two, what exactly it is you're doing so they can find good matches for you. And they need to hear about it more than once. Quarterly, at least twice a year, every other month would be great because it kind of goes past and like, oh, right, Marisol, And then they vaguely, but you just need to keep reminding them. God gave everyone a delete key. And she knows that you can use it when you need to. So bugging people, don't worry about that.
So, I mean, just start gathering like a list of all the people I know and how to contact them and basically write them an email, write a newsletter or some an announcement. Yeah.
And I would, the first time around when you're doing your group of people, if you can send whoever you can send an individual email to, send an individual email to, because it will hit their inbox. It won't go through a spam filter. And you can ask them, you know, would you like to, if you'd like me to keep you on my little list, just let me know. But that's not necessary. But when you're just doing something that's unsolicited, it's good to try to do email by email by email by email. And then let's say you're part of a Facebook group. Okay, you don't know those people's email, but if you can, post in that group. Like, you just try to hit people as close to them as you can get, as close to their personal inbox as you can get. So then you do everybody you know. Then you think about, okay, who do I know that has connection to a larger group of actors who's not in conflict with what I do? So like a movement coach, what you do is not going to cannibalize their business. So they'd be more likely to pass you along to their actors. And, you know, if you even down the road, even approaching managers, because what managers have an issue with is their clients who they think are talented, not getting the callback, not getting the job. And you can come in and go, you have this client, super talented. That's why you signed them. And if you're frustrated that they're not quite getting traction, it might be because this element is missing. And that's what I specialize in coaching actors with. So first your circle of friends, then what I call funnel people. People who can funnel actors to you.
I remember this.
Pardon?
I remember this from the course.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that is where you start. And then you get a client. And then if they're a happy client, you ask them for a little sentence that you can use in your marketing. And you don't have to use their attribution. You can use their first name only. You can use their initials. You can use their full name if they'll give it to you. But just like a little happy quote. And then you share those with, then that's what you do the second time around to all your friends. Gather a few of these little quotes and you go, hey guys, this is off to a great start. I've already worked, you know, with people and they're very excited. Oh, okay, good, good. And then you do it again and you do it again and you do it again. And then you put people on your clients on a little list, and eventually that little list keeps growing. And that's how you keep in touch with your clients. so that they keep coming back to you?
Do you have any, like, just off the top of your head, examples in mind of like marketing that you've might have seen or heard that I can just research and see what other, because I've been Googling around like, oh God, this acting coaching world is like, there's no singular place to go to find all the coaches, you know? So I've just been like scouring websites here and there, and everyone, not everyone, but like, it seems like the website is useful for the coach. It's a place for, you know, actors to go and just read more. But like, what are, I don't know, what are people saying that like really boils down to what they have to offer that is, I don't know, that's an example for you that pops out in your mind that you think is good, or, you know what I mean?
I mean, I would have to go, I would have to start looking around too. But there's, okay, a little formula you can follow. Is you talk about the problem. And then you talk about the solution. And then you talk about the process. And then you talk about the results. So the problem is, or a good problem for you to focus on, is you know you're talented. You've been studying your craft. Maybe you're, you know, years into studying your craft. You're getting auditions, but they're just not hitting. Not getting callbacks, not getting bookings. What is going on? So you've clearly described a problem. And when I say clearly, it, and you've put it in the language about the other person. So they can go, oh my God, that's me. You want the person to raise their hand and go, she's talking about me. And what a lot of people do is their marketing is they're talking about them first. Hi, I'm Marisol and I'm at the... So clearly define the problem that you are, you're a specialist in. Of course, you can coach them in a lot of different ways on a lot of different things, but we're going to, I think this story thing from your writerly brain is a really good little thing that pulls you outside of just the general pool. So what is the solution to that? Well, likely part of the problem is there's an element that's missing from your audition. I think people are probably watching your tapes. This is still in the problem part. I think people are watching your tapes and probably going, that's a really good actor, but they don't have a grasp of story. Okay, so now we're dropping into the solution. Your job as an actor is to forward the arc of the story that someone has created, to move the narrative forward, especially if you're not like the lead. Your job is definitely to move this story forward. So you have to know not just how to do a scene, but what the purpose of the scene is for. If you've listened to this podcast, this woman talks a lot about this. And when you get story right, someone watching your tape is going to go, that's not only a good actor, but they get what their job is that we would be hiring them for. That's the solution. Once you get story in place, chances are things will be better for you. And then the person's like, oh my God, she's talking to me. Well, how do I do that? How do I do that? Yes, I want the story. What do we do? Then you talk about your little process. Well, if we work together and I coach you on this, we're going to make sure this thing is in place. I have clients that I've worked with once. And, or, you know, and I've had people who we keep coming back and we keep getting better and better. And we find, you know, what parts of telling a story you are naturally suited to, like what kind of character roles and blah, 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 whatever your little process is. It doesn't have to be like a process. It just has to be, this is how we're going to work together. So people are like, okay, great. And then the results. You know from past experience, when you find a coach, that coach can elevate you to a higher level. That's what you're paying them for. And when you and I work together, I'm going to add this piece into your toolkit and it will make your auditions pop. It will take you, that is the result. It will take you to a higher level. So now your marketing has walked them through the experience that they're having now, what the solution is, that you have the solution, you're going to work with them, and then the results will be this. That's good marketing. That's compelling marketing, and it doesn't have to be pages and pages and pages of text. It has to be clear. Not a lot of people do it well. And I don't, off the top of my head, can't point you towards acting coaches that are doing it well.
Maybe not necessarily acting coaches.
Yeah, I was going to say Stacey Baiman, S-T-A-C-E-Y, B-O-E-H-M-A-N.com, StaceyBaiman.com. She teaches this process. So if you look at her sales pages, you can see her walking you through this process. She teaches coaches how to sell. So that if you can find her sales pages, I don't know if they're always on her website, but they might be. So you can look at that. And there's SaxonVoice.com. Let me see if she still has her site up. SaxonVoice.com.
V as in Victor. And,
no. Oh, Ingrid, what's your site? Her name is Ingrid and she is a voice coach. Let's see. See if I can find it. SaxonVoice.com.
Why does that sound so familiar? Did you mention?
Maybe.
Mention them during.
So I wrote this website for her. So you could look at that. It's very brief. She used to have her prices right on the website, and I think she's taken them off, but it's basically, it starts with the problem people are having, which is the way they speak and communicate is getting in between is problem for them. Whether she works with lawyers and politicians and business people, as well as entertainers. But this site is for like politicians, attorneys, and business people. It's like, oh my gosh, this is affecting you. And then we talk a little bit more about that. And then she's like, hey, you know, I can help you with this. It's not, she could be doing more on that. We worked on this quite a while ago. She could say more on the site. And I think we did in the place where she had her prices sort of walked people through, this is how we work together. And then the results, there are testimonials and things like that. So that's sort of a limited look at that. Yeah. But I think I would encourage you to take a stab at it yourself. Follow that little outline and don't really worry what other people are doing. If you do two things, you'll be miles ahead of everybody else. One is speak about the person first, not about you. And speak right like you talk. Hey, is this kind of happening to you? Blah, blah, blah. Are you frustrated? As if you were having a conversation with somebody in your own kind of colloquial way. Because it feels personal. And their first feeling is like, oh, she cares and she kind of gets me. That's what you're going for. So what else is part of your procrastination about doing this and sending it out? Anything you want to talk about now?
The coach that I've been working with for years, he just asked me to review the content on his website. And in doing so, I learned his thing, what he feels he offers, and his really leans on like years of experience. And I don't stand up to that. I don't have as much, I haven't been around as long as he have. I haven't been on sets. And so a lot of my own personal pushback is like, what gives me, you know, the right or the audacity to say that I can do this when I don't offer this, when other coaches are offering exactly what I want to hear. You know, I want to take notes from someone who's been in it, not to say that I'm not in it. But so there's that.
Okay. This is a really good point though. If you have years of experience, of course, that's what you highlight in your marketing because it's what you have. I've got years of experience. If you don't have years of experience, you have a fresh ear and a fresh eye. And the reason you don't have years of experience as a coach yet is because you've been off writing and learning story. And you've been, the reason you're putting this out there is you just keep getting asked by your actor friends to help them with this. And when you do help them, something pops. And you think the thing that's popping is because you're adding story into the mix. You're helping them learn this.
Okay, here's my pushback on that.
Uh-huh.
Neither am I a published or produced writer, but I've spent many years as a writer's assistant to a screenwriter and playwright, and also as an actor in the theater in New York, developing, like, I don't know if you've ever heard of the LARC Play Development Center. It's since closed, mostly because of the pandemic, but a lot of round tables and table work and developmental work. Like, how do I market that? Because it's not nothing. But it's not easy to comprehend, I suppose. Or
I've spent hours studying story. I've done it as a writer. I've done it as a, you know, in roundtables for this place. Well, that sounds fancy. I've done it here. I've done it like this. I understand. It's especially hard when you're looking at other people's site and you're like, but they have all these credibilities and credits and degrees and letters
it's
after
so
their name.
So easy to understand, like IMDb credits, like that's it. That's
sure.
23. You don't even need to say anything.
Nobody really gives a shit about that. They want you to solve their problem. And if you can solve their problem, they're not going to ask a lot of questions. And if you solve their friend's problem, they're going to hope you can solve their problem.
Yeah, that's really where
results.
Yeah.
Your coaching thing is going to grow from word of mouth at first. And all the word of mouth has to be is, well, she really knows how to coach really well. You can make it a problem that you don't have these things, or you can find a way to talk about it that makes it not a problem.
Trying to do that. Cause I know, I know that I have something to offer. Like this is not a fluke. Like it's not just auditions. People ask me all the, my own acting coach asked me to review the language that he uses to describe his work on, you know what I mean? So it's both writing and acting. Like, how do I put
it's your combination of brain. Why are you in creating cash flow?
Me?
Why are you, why are you sitting here getting advice from me? Tell me, answer that question.
Because I don't know how. I like.
No. Why me? Because there are a billion people who give business advice. Why are you getting it from me?
Word of mouth. A friend has been telling me about you for years, you and Miata. And I took the course with Miata, and then I took the course with Actors Fund. And then I've done it so many times. I was like, I don't need it. Why am I going to pay for this? I don't need that. But in coming back in promising myself that I would join a community, to level up my finances, as much as I feel like I've got it handled, there's always more to learn. I stumbled upon the creating cash flow, which is exactly what I need right now in trying to build a more stable
absolutely business. I know why you're here.
But it was really word of mouth. That's where.
But what research did you do on me? How do
I
you
didn't have to? My friend talked about you for years. She talked me to the ground about it. Yeah.
Okay. This is proving my point. I have no business degrees. I have a theater degree, a bachelor's. That's the end of my education. I have no certification in coaching whatsoever. I've just been doing it for 20 years and learning as I go. I've taken no other courses in business. I've read a lot of books.
You know,
I've done it myself.
Yeah, I read all of this about you. And I think in reading this, and I listened to all the podcasts before I jumped in and spent the money, that I was like, this is an investment on myself. But heard all the things that I needed to hear, that actually it just felt like, oh, you're like me.
Yeah.
You were like me.
Yeah.
It's exactly what I'm going through.
Yep.
And if you figured it out, I want to know how you figured it out.
Yeah. Correct.
So your marketing felt personal, like it called to me personally. I guess, is that are we your core, I guess, demographic, like actors or artists who are looking first? Or do you coach on various?
You were once upon a time, because I was an actor.
Yeah.
And then I started my organizing business, mostly helping actors because they didn't have to to tell me about their life and why they needed this here and that. I totally got it. And then those clients started asking me questions about their life. And I was like, oh, and I realized there was a gap in the marketplace for actors who wanted management advice, but who couldn't get managers, and not all managers are strategists. So even if they got a manager, they're like, this isn't giving. So then I was like, oh, I can strategically advise you, because I was an actor, but I wasn't acting anymore. So then I started career coaching basically for actors. And then I started my mastermind groups for actors to help them do their career, but also their life holistically and sustain themselves through this crazy business. And then just as I got better and better, I could now coach people on their business, on their life, whatever. So then I just became kind of more of a general life coach and strategist. And I never thought I would coach on business, except that I started my business. And then all my actor friends were like, well, how'd you do that? How are you making money here? What do you teach me that? And I was like, okay. And that's the long way of how I'm still here doing it. Cause I love helping artists make some money so you can be an artist. But so it all grew organically, which is why I didn't have any formal education on it. Cause I never thought I was going to be a coach. It just sort of evolved and I loved it. So all of this is to say that people choose to work with people that they feel can solve their problem and that they like, and that, some people don't want the person with the years of experience, because they might be like, I don't know, maybe they're stuffy. Maybe they're stuck in their ways. Do they really have the pulse on the industry? Because that's the thing about someone who's new is like, oh, I've got my pulse. I'm out there working. I'm an actor and I write and I do this. And I know I can help you because The only reason I'm saying I can help you is because I've been helping my friends in private. That's what I said as an organizer. It's like, I've been doing this just like randomly and privately for many years. And people keep asking me. And so here I am, if you would like some of this. That's all you're saying. It's like, oh, I've been like helping my friends and it's been going great. And they keep saying, I should share this. So I am sharing it. And this is my price.
What did you do when you were at this phase in your career, not making like steady money, but knowing that there's a kernel of something there that you, if only you nurtured it. And I mean, like, I'm sure there was like a, I'm sure you were in this muck of like, how do I do this? What, how do I educate myself? Like, what were your resources or where did you think to go to get on your feet?
So you have an advantage and a disadvantage where you're at right now than from where I was at. I had an advantage and a disadvantage. The advantage I had is there weren't that many places to go look for information because there was no internet. Right. The library and the bookstore. And I spent many hours and I couldn't afford to buy the books. So I would just write all the notes down in my little binders of notepaper.
What notes, what books, like what were you, where was your brain?
Business books and stuff like that. Everything that I've condensed for you in the Creating Cashflow course is all the little good bits and pieces that I learned over the years from many different sources. Like here, just read this and you'll get a lot. So there wasn't a lot. So I just had to sort of start because there wasn't much education to absorb. I saw a magazine article for an organizer. I'm like, oh my God, that's an actual profession. I've been totally doing that. I just didn't know it was a thing. I printed up business cards. And the next day I just started telling everyone that I do this. And they'd go, what the hell is that? Because no one knew what a professional organizer was. At least people know what acting coaching is. Everyone's like, organize, like what? And then I had to realize, oh, I have to educate people on what it is before they know that they need me for it. But it was word. I just, the words have to come out of your mouth in order to generate word of mouth. Like you have to say it.
Did so you just, feel any kind of resistance yourself, personal resistance?
Who the hell was I? I'm like, this is my business card. I named my business. I was like, I think I can do this. And what I did was I took a few clients and I did them for really, really cheap just to make sure that I could deliver. I could say, you will feel better after we work together. And once I was like, oh, yeah, I can do it. But you've already done that. You've already had sessions with your friends. And then they have been like, that's amazing. And the results are good. So you are at that point. When I got to that point where I was like, I know I can do this. So let's see if I can, you know, help people understand that they need it. Your market knows they need it. I didn't know another organizer. There was no way for me to connect with them. I didn't, there was no internet. I'm like, this one guy does it in the magazine. So I guess I'm going to do it too. So I didn't have any competition, but I also had to like explain to people what I was trying to do. You don't have that. But now you, because of the internet, can see all of the quote unquote competition and that gets intimidating. Yeah. The thing is, the first person, your first client is you. You're the first person you need to sell that this is a good idea.
Right. Yeah. And I feel like I'm not.
No, you're working on it. This is part of the process. You are working on it. You're not doing it. You're working on it. I had to just be like, there's got to be somebody out there who's going to understand how great this is and how organizing will help them. And I just needed to find a few people. You don't need a million clients. You need your next client. And then you get that testimonial out of them. And then you go into the next one, you share that, and you just do it person by person. But you have to believe that you've got some good shit to share. Because if you're out of alignment of like, hire me, don't hire me, hire me, don't hire me, I don't know, I don't have credentials, people are going to smell that, like, mm-hmm. And they're going to be like, okay, they'll believe what you put out there. But if you're like, hey, I'm not everybody's perfect acting coach, but if I'm the right one for you, it's going to work. So let's find out. Everybody wants a different thing. And then eventually when the internet came along, it was like, oh, all the organizers. But then I started to join the group, you know, the LA chapter of National Association of Professional Organizers. And then it was like, okay, you do this and I do something different. You do this and this is how I do it differently. Then I just started learning how to separate myself and talk about myself as compared to everybody else. And that's what we're already talking about with you. Okay, this is what I do.
Yeah.
Pick me, don't pick me. That's mm-hmm. okay. You're not trying to convince anybody. You're just trying to explain to people. But you, how did you decide that you are worthy of becoming an actor? There's a gazillion actors out there. Why do we need you?
You know, I went through this when I was really early on in my acting because I worked corporate before I went back to train. And I danced ballet growing up and I went to college and I became like 9 to 5 and I was like, what am I doing? Went back to train and like there was a moment of, it's really awkward for me to say I'm an actor. Like how, like,
of course. How oh, it's the weirdest thing to say. Who are we?
I'm not even auditioning. I don't have an agent. I just went to acting school. Like, you know what I mean? There's these like the first steps of like the budding, you know? Yeah. And I remember having that moment and I was in a circle. My sister brought me to some workout class and they were like, let's get emotional at the beginning of the class. And everyone told everyone what they're struggling with internally. And I was like, I'm having a hard time saying I'm an actor. So I'm saying it out loud to this group of strangers right now. And I'm going to continue doing that yep. until it feels comfortable. So I know what this process is like, and I'm still like pushing through it and just asking the questions that I just need to hear the answers to over and over again, even though I probably already know the answers.
Yeah. And part of our resistance to this whole thing is we like to think, because that was hard, the getting used to saying I'm an actor out loud. And you're like, oh,
when you've got no proof. Yeah.
I don't want to do that again, though. It worked, but I don't want to do that again. We don't want to do the hard thing again. You're like, can't I just do that once and then never have to feel that again? It's like, nope, because it's new territory. So you're going to have to feel it weird for a while again as you go, I'm an acting coach. You don't have to say I'm an acting coach. You can say, oh, and I coach actors. But you have to get used to saying it. You have to get used to believing it and being in alignment with it. Because you are a good actor, whether or not anyone's hiring you right now. Being on set doesn't make you a good actor. There's plenty of bad actors who are on set today. So you are someone who can coach actors, even if you've never officially done it before. It's all up here. I had to be an organizer up here first, a professional organizer, before I could be one out in the world.
Is there, and that's why I'm here.
Yeah, no, of course. I wish there was this. I wish it was there for me.
Yeah. You've really found a niche and like solved a problem. You've really solved a problem here. Is there a way, because again, my friend asked me to review the information on his website, like, and it pertains to writing and understanding what he does. I get this a lot. People ask me to read their scripts, and in writer's group, they want me to give feedback. And like, how do I, is that a separate service that I could offer? Or like, is there a way to like combine what I do? It's not just acting or an audition coach. It's also writing. Or should those be two separate?
Well, okay. I'm going to answer this in several layers. One, you can charge for whatever you want.
Sure.
Whatever. You don't have to market all of your services because you don't want to confuse people. I do this and this and this and this and use me for whatever. And then people will be like, I don't even know. So pick the thing you would like to do most, or the thing you think you can get money easily for most, and market that, and then just let all the other stuff come to you. But I would decide, this is how I want you to think about all of the things that you can do for other people. You're over here on your own life with your own projects and your own artistry and building your own career. And someone comes along like your acting teacher and says, hey, can you take your brain and take it off your life and put it onto my life? And you're like, sure, for this much an hour. And you can either pay me. And if you don't, that's fine, because I got lots to do over here. And this is fascinating. And I love my life. But if you would like me, I'll take the money and I'll put my brain on your life. Mm-hmm. That's what they're paying you for, whether it's to read a script, read a website, coach them, whatever. They are literally asking, take your life force away from your life and put it onto my life. And then you have to decide what makes that worthwhile for me financially. That's it. That's all we're doing when we offer service.
Yeah.
But your brain is a valuable brain. And we know that because everybody keeps asking to borrow it.
Yeah, I think it's like, how do I make money or market myself to make money using these two things that I feel like I do well?
Okay. Well, you can market two things. Go, you can rent my brain this way. You can use my, I would call it my story brain. You can use my story brain and we can apply it to your acting. You can use my story brain and we can apply it to your writing. Rent my brain. That's what they're doing. They're renting your brain.
Yeah, you're getting it. You get it. Yeah. Okay.
And what are you afraid will happen if they rent your brain?
What am I afraid will happen? It's not so much the fear of what will, I don't really fear what will happen.
Okay.
Because every time I sit down, I love talking about this. Like, you can't like deny I have enthusiasm. You know, whether I'm right or wrong.
How I know it's going to work is because you have a natural enthusiasm to do this kind of stuff.
Same here. Yeah. And I got that from listening to that workshop that you suggested in the course. But like, that's undeniable. It's not a fear of what will happen if I offer these things.
What will happen? Is there a thing of like, there's a different feeling when I'm doing it for free versus if I charge for it? I'm worried.
I think it's really just like, how do I clearly articulate without having trying to sell anybody? How do I like, I'm still fleshing out like exactly what it is enabled for me to like
articulate. Okay, well, flesh it out and then let somebody read it.
Yeah.
Let your past friends that you've actually worked with read it and go, does this kind of capture why, you know, why you worked with me and why you liked it and why it worked, do you think? Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, 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 mm-hmm.
you might ask them. Don't ask a million people. Pick a few people. You might ask them. You can bring it here. I can look over it. You can have another trusted source look over it.
Okay.
But it also doesn't have to be perfect, because you can tweak it and 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 tweak it. I'm always refining the language of what I did, because I didn't know what I was doing. It's like, oh, I guess we're doing this now. And people are asking me for this. And how should I explain that? And yeah, and I do so much for so many different types of people that it was always very hard to kind of get to the nut of what it is I do. Yes. In fact, I only figured it out in language last year.
What After was
all
it?
These years, I would was spend hours and hours going, what
did I do?
Well, basically what I do for people is I help them. Like, this is what I do with every single client, no matter who you are, what we're working on. I look at where you're at with space, and do we need to create some more space in your life? Because if you're choking yourself to death, nothing is going to happen. So we have to remove your hand from your throat. And then we have to look at how you use space. So do you need more? And usually I'm helping people create space. And then I help them with strategy. Okay, what are you going to do in a way that actually makes it build and not just scattered effort? And then I help them create better feeling stories in their mindset. Because if you're telling yourself, you could have all the space in the world and a great strategy. And if you're defeating yourself in your own mind, it's not going to work. And then I help people do experiments to prove it to themselves that it will work. And that's basically what I do. But I never really had that language and clarity around that until last year. Took me that long. Yeah. So I say that to say, you tweak and tweak and tweak and tweak and tweak, and you just keep tweaking till you're like, ah, that resonates with people. Oh, they told me they came because of that sentence. Okay, good. Could keep those in.
Yeah. You wrote change strategist. I've heard that, change strategist.
I used to call myself a change strategist because I didn't want to call myself a life coach, because it was just like everybody and their dog was a life coach. I'm like, ugh. Now I'm okay with it. I will identify myself as a life coach because truly that is what I do. But I just like to say coach and strategist. I have to add something.
There's something about hearing change strategist. It's like, man, that really hit it on the money, you know, for understanding what it is that you do, because you want your story is layered. But yes, it is about, it's tweaking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So put pen to paper.
Yeah. Back to that one chair.
Shitty first draft, as all writing teachers will ever tell you in the history of the world, shitty first draft, and then you refine it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But you've got it now. Give yourself some sort of deadline.
Yeah.
When am I going to have this done by? Or when am I going to sit down and send out this PDF with the emails? And So it doesn't matter when, but you can make this process go faster or slower.
Okay.
And
at what point could I send it to you, like before a session? So we talk about it in session, or send it to you?
Just include it in the session and we'll look over it in the session.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
This will work for you. And this is great, because all of the stuff that you have to overcome right now to get to that place, it's great stuff to have to overcome. You'll be stronger for it.
I know. It's like being an adult beginner. It's such a strange experience in life. I'm doing it in so many different ways right now. And it's just like humbling. Cause you think
you want to know the difference. I think people have a real fork in the road many, many times in life, but that fork could be defined as, are you willing to begin something anew and like you said, humble yourself and start with a beginner's mind? Or do you just want to hang on to this feeling of, I'm competent and I know what I'm doing. And I just want to always have that feeling. The world of the entrepreneur is no. You will always feel frustrated, humbled, learning things anew, always. And you just get comfortable within the discomfort where you cannot be self-employed or be an entrepreneur. But there's a lot of people who are unwilling to go there, even in like relationships. Like, no, I'm just going to keep making the same mistakes because I don't want to learn and go to therapy and, you know, deal with everything I'm not good at or wrong or have that put in my face. Well, you won't grow. That is the path of not growing. Just hunkering down in competence.
That's the biggest sign for me. It's like, oh, this, there's no challenge here. Well, I don't feel like I'm growing. There isn't discomfort. It's funny, like to crave it, but also be like, oh man.
No.
This again.
I throw tantrums all the time. I don't want to do this. I don't want to learn another thing. Haven't I learned enough? Can it be easy? Yeah. I get it. But you just allow your feelings and get back on the horse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you.
All I can tell you is that there's money on the other side of this for you.
That's what I want to hear.
It's like, it's so obvious. You totally know what you're doing. You've already had happy people who worked with you. It's like, yeah, just go out there. There's people who want to work with someone exactly like you. From your background, just the way you talk about it, the way you talk is going to fit with their brain. I'm not for everybody. I know people who are like, I don't like you. I don't like the way you're too and calm down and like, yeah, okay, well, good. But your right people are out there and they will give you money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Good questions. Really good questions. People will listen to this recording and be like, oh yeah, okay. Yeah. The floor is open. If anyone else would like to. Yes. Trisha. Hello.
Hi. I just wanted to say thank you actually, because you had suggested the game plan phone call, a 90-minute phone call for people who had taken my class at the Barrow Group and also a mastermind group. And I introduced both of those ideas and like, three people signed up for the game plan calls right away. I just did three of those last week. I have five people signed up for the mastermind group, which will start in March. So I'm hoping to get five more. But I felt like just having a name for things, having like a very clear idea of what I was offering, being able to mention it during class, during the 4-week class, and then also just follow up with the emails. People like, yeah, they just want something to say yes to. That's what I found. Like if they're getting value out of what you're presenting, they want a way to follow up with you and they want to get more value and they want more individual attention. Cause you know, class is like, there's 10 to 12 people in it and they're always just like, but what about this? You know? So, I wasn't sure how the 90-minute calls were going to go. I was like, well, we'll see, but they went by in a flash and, I just got really nice emails and things that I've been using as like testimonials with just initials. And I had like three coaches reach out to me privately to be like, what are you teaching in your class? Because the testimonials look like I'm some rocket scientist. I'm just listening to people really is what I'm doing. but I felt like, oh, the testimonials are really powerful. So yeah, I want to make a concerted effort to do more of that, ask more for more feedback. But I just wanted to say thank you for giving me structure.
Oh, I'm so happy. Okay, so let me tell you something else. Yeah. Okay, so you get a happy person.
Yeah.
And they give you a testimonial, which is going to be along the lines of like, Trish is amazing, which is great. You need those. But you can also you can do something for marketing where however you're doing this and just say, you know, you might be wondering, what am I going to get out of a 90-minute conversation? And this client I had, and you have to name them, that was her hesitation too. She's like, but she decided to like, okay. And this is what was going on with her. Like she was worried about this and she was frustrated about this. And we really were able to, you know, put it out on the table. And I was able to look at it with, you know, fresh, wise eyes and rearrange the pieces. And we came up with a new idea for something like this, or we found this little knot that whatever it was. And this is how she felt after. So you're taking us through the arc of the whole journey of her hesitation, why she made the decision to, okay, let's do this, what she brought into the session, how she was feeling, what you guys looked at, what you found, and how she felt after. So I call that like a client journey or case study, kind of a miniature case study. And you can make one of those from every client you work with without identifying them. And then you can also collect your testimonials. But those are two different ways of presenting the same thing, which is like, oh my God, that was amazing.
Yes, that's great.
Yeah. Because when people are trying to make their decision, it's like, well, I'm afraid it's the big fear. It's like, well, I'm afraid I'm going to give this person money and they're it's not going to help me. Like that's everybody's fear, mine included, when I'm like making buying decisions. Mm-hmm. And so you want to be like, yeah. That's a usual, that's usual. But if you take the leap, could work out, worked out for this person that, yeah.
Yeah, two small questions. Mm-hmm. One is, for the class, I only mentioned the game plan and the mastermind group because I didn't want to confuse them with like all the things, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But what I had been offering previous to teaching this class was life coaching for $650 a month. And that's like a big chunk of change, you know, to ask people to fork over. So I found the majority of those clients came to me. They were like actor friends of mine who saw my career and saw things that were going on for me or saw my posts. And then they were like, hey, can I work with you? Mm-hmm. I don't know how to market that to my students or if I should even mention that or if I should just keep it to the game plan and the mastermind group.
Mm-hmm. Because then when people are like, okay, I love my game plan. Like what do we do next? And just more game plans, which can be correct. Yes.
Yeah.
Or you can say, well, here's the thing. And this is what I would say is that very often what a lot of people do is they get help in a crisis moment. That's why you signed up for the game plan because your frustrations had built up. Right. You were like, okay, help me.
Yep.
It's 90 minutes. And that's great because otherwise you're not getting help when you need help. So help when you need help is like phase one of life. Mm-hmm. Please get help when you need help.
Yes.
But when you look at people who've reached kind of an elevated stage of life, they're getting help even when it's not a crisis moment. They're getting help with just growing.
Yes.
So it goes smoother. So it goes faster.
Yeah.
So it's more enjoyable. Yes. And so they don't hit as many crisis moments.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, when you reach a point in life when you want to invest in that way and you want to have that experience. I do, you know, coach with people like that.
Okay.
I do life coaching, but you see, you're part of what marketing is clarifying the problem for people and teaching them like, here's where you're at, but there's another thing beyond that. And this is good, but it's limited. Which is why I do this.
Yeah.
Like I work with people. I used to be able to just hire me for 2 hours. then I stopped that for a while, but I'm going to bring it back, a la carte 90 minute session, whatever. But normally there's two choices with me. There's, you can buy 6 hours and use them over 6 months, however you would like to use them. Or we can work together for a year. The year is all in. It's like, we can hop on the phone whenever you need it. I'll read things. I'll write things. We'll tweak it. Like anything you want to use my brain for, it's available to you. And we do it over the course of a year. So I know that you're in, because I work with someone different. It's just like, as an organizer, if we're just doing your office, I'm going to organize that room differently than if you're saying, we're going to do my whole house. And it's like, great. And we're not going to start with the office. I'm going to do all this stuff, and it's going to lead, you know, it's just a different roadmap. And so if you hire me for the 6 sessions, it'll be great. It's ongoing. Each session's going to build upon the other, but there's no connective tissue between sessions. You can bring to me whatever you want in a session, but we work session by session. Whereas the leap year thing, yeah, we have sessions, but there's all this connective tissue. You can email me whenever, you can call me whenever, like, it's just all this. So it's just, neither one is better or worse. It's just a very different experience.
Yeah.
So someone can go 90-minute call with you, 90-minute call with you, 90-minute call with you. That's fine. But I'm not building anything with you.
Right.
I'm just helping with what you're bringing to the table.
Yeah.
When I work with my life coaching clients, we're really looking at the bigger picture all the time. And we're building momentum because we're working to, I know we're committed for a period of time.
Yes. Okay, great. Would I say that to the people who have signed up for the 90 minutes, or would I generally just say that to the class?
I wouldn't say it to the class. Okay. I mean, it's sort of like, if you feel you've saturated the class where everyone understands they have a 90 minute thing and you have a group program, then you can toss in, you know, I had someone come to me the other day. This is you talking. I had someone come to me the other day with this question, and I thought, oh, that was a really good question. And so I thought I would just clarify it in case any of you are interested in the future. And then you go into the spiel. They were wondering, what's the difference between having a 90-minute session and another 90-minute session versus working with me continuously for like a month at a time?
That's great. One thing that did come up organically in class was, I said, you know, 2019 was kind of a breakthrough year for me. And I just kept talking. And then this one guy in class was like, why was it a breakthrough year for you? Like, what do you think spurred the breakthrough? And I was like, oh, I got coached. And like, I hadn't even put two and two together, but it's what made me become a life coach, because it was so powerful to work with this woman. And I said, I worked with her for 6 months. Like I wasn't not a 1 month thing. Like, and I didn't go into it thinking I was going to work with her for 6 months. She was in a program where we were just going session to session, $50 a session. And I just kept getting value out of it. Like, oh, this is really pushing me to take action consistently in a way that therapy isn't. And it's showing me my limiting beliefs the way maybe my therapist does, but it really holds my feet to the fire. And so like, that's what made, you know, even after I finished coaching with her, it was just like breakthrough, breakthrough, breakthrough. So just saying that out loud in the class, I was like, oh, that's a great way to sort of market my own coaching, is like, yeah, this class, definitely useful. 90 minutes, totally useful. Mastermind group, absolutely. You know, accountability, everything else. Consistency. But if you work with a coach one-on-one for an extended period of time, that's rocket fuel. And I believe that. And I can say that with 100% of myself. Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about, Marisol. It's like a firm belief of like, oh yeah, this is, I believe this. And it comes across. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a perfect articulation of the differences. Cool. Each one is good. And each one is serving a particular purpose. And if you're ready for more, this isn't going to be it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yay. Thank you. Last thing was for testimonials. I would love to drive them a little bit, because I feel like when I just say, hey, can I get a testimonial? People will just say very innocuous, like nebulous, like,
this is great.
Yeah. I'm like, great, but let's get some details, but I don't know how to ask for that.
Can I interview you?
Right now? Okay.
No, that's what you say to them.
Oh, okay.
On the phone for like 20 minutes. I just want to do like a little mini interview with you.
Oh, I love that. Okay.
Because I'm trying to collect, you know, the arcs of clients' journey. And then at the end of interviewing them, you go, you have such an amazing story. And I know that that would be one that would be very useful for people to hear. Would you allow me to share that in my marketing? And if so, would you like your full name attached, your name at all, your initials, or no attribution?
Great.
If you ask for a little 20-minute mini interview, and then you go through those five questions. So what was your hesitancy? Why did you make the leap? What did you feel like when we were thinking about what you're going to bring to the session? What did you gain that was the most valuable out of the session? And then how do you feel after?
Great.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome. What's interesting too with testimonials, and I discovered this as an organizer, because some organizers, like, they go in with a brand new client and they're like, let's take the before pictures. And I'm just like, oh, and then they're like, people won't let me. I'm like, yeah, because they're feeling shame. And they have this idea of like, oh my God, you're going to put this like out on the internet. Like, what? What I always did was go, you know, sometimes with clients, it's such an amazing difference that you almost forget what the before really look like, because you're so like happy with the end. So I'm just going to document where we're starting for us. Then by the end, when it's all pretty, they're really happy. And now this is what, and they are emotionally removed from the old thing. And we're taking the new pictures and we put them side by side. And I'm just like, this is an amazing transformation. Would you mind if I shared it? Go right ahead. They're so happy and so proud. They're just feeling very different. So that is similar to asking for, can I share your story at the beginning? Like, I don't know. And that's why people give vague testimonials. It's like, they know it's going to be shared. And so it's like, Trish, it's great. But if you interview them and then they articulate all of this and they're reminded of how good they feel working with you, they're like, yeah, you can share that.
Great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, you are off to the races. I'm very, very proud. Yeah. Good stuff. Anybody else? We have some time.
Christine, I'll just jump in real quick. I appreciate everything you've said so far. I thought a lot of your interview with Marisol was really great, because a lot of the questions you asked, I think, are kind of flowing through me at the same time. I'm just getting started on creating cash flow. I've worked with Miata for a long time, so the managing is great, and the acting income, there's been a sizable portion of it. So I'm working at a restaurant right now, and I'm also doing the acting income. I think if I could identify obstacles, one of the things was just sitting down, sort of brainstorming skill sets. Both of my parents are engineers, so I always kind of come to things with this, like, who am I to, like, I don't, like, you know, like, my dad always treats things like it's landing a plane. And yeah, landing a plane is like landing a plane, but, you know, I'm not building any bridges with my acting degree. Part of it, I feel like, is because I've had some success in the acting, because I'm so passionate about that, that's where my head is at, that a lot of my pain points that I think about are really related to actors. Mm-hmm. And I just don't know. I did a little bit of market research, because I actually built like a self-tape studio and I was taping my friends, and it was great. But I just found that the competitive price point market-wise is fairly low for self-taping. And that I want to see if I can't find a different way to utilize my skills. So there's a bit of procrastination, but then I think the other issue is just these messages about, like, I've spent 2 or 3 years in cognitive behavioral therapy, and I think it has a lot of really successful applications for artists and things. But then there's also things like, but I'm not a trained therapist and I don't want to try and plagiarize anything. So I know it doesn't have to be original, but that's kind of where I am, as I'm just brainstorming. That's where I am right now.
Yeah. You also don't want to do therapy unless you know what you're getting into, because it's not that you can't help people, but right. The problem is they can bring something up or get into a state where you can't get it safely out. That it's the pitfall. And as a coach, I have to be very cognizant. Good coaches know the line that they know they don't have the skill to cross. Mm-hmm. You don't even like play around over there, because it's not that you can't go a little bit over there, but right. It's like, you're not going to be able to help if something happens in a session.
Great point.
Yeah. And the difference between one of the biggest difference, as Tricia pointed out, between like therapy and coaching, it centers around action.
Okay.
Therapy doesn't necessarily, now cognitive behavioral therapy is a type of therapy that is about like doing things differently.
Taking steps, right.
But it's not necessarily about constructing something that builds momentum.
Got it, right.
Maybe, yeah. But anyway, that's neither here nor there for you. So I totally understand what you're saying, because you're like, I know the acting, I see all the problems they have, but it's a delicate market to get money out of.
Yeah, right.
Because actors, one, are treated like ATM machines. Oh, just sell something to an actor. Because most actors, the problem is they'll buy something once.
Right.
And then they move on, because they're always looking for the magic bullet, you know?
Yes. And I've had people tape with me and it's great. It just does feel like that very thing of like, great, they're on to the next thing that they feel like, well, yeah.
Yeah. So it's a difficult market in that respect. So it's better to find the things you can do for actors. Like, who else needs that in the world? It's sort of like Ingrid. Ingrid's background as a vocal coach is with artists.
Right.
But I'm like, lawyers and politicians and business people, they have a lot of problems that you can fix. And so she works with a lot of artists, but she gets her money out of this sector of society. So when you've come up with skills and strengths and stuff like that, what do you got?
I mean, honestly, I've avoided even like touching that, but I think I'm pretty eloquent. I'm pretty good at listening to people. You know, I'm pretty calm. I think a lot of like just fact-based cutting to what's essential, right? I think not getting stuck in like too much thinking about things. I'm organized, really organized. Like my space is very clean. My time is very organized. I like artists, but I also get along really well with people who have like a more technical experience, because I was raised by engineers. So I can understand more technical thought processes, if not the specific skill sets. Mm-hmm. So certainly those are some things just off the top of my head. Obviously, I think pen to paper is like the biggest solution. It's just write it down so it's not circling around. But
correct.
Yeah.
Get it on paper.
Right.
And talk to a few people about it. Like, okay, because people will be able to make connections that you might not see.
Mm.
So it's interesting, because there is this segment of society that isn't necessarily like really great at putting themselves out there in certain ways, that may need to put themselves out there in certain ways that you might be able to help them with.
Mm-hmm.
And especially if you have compassion and empathy and understanding of their brain because of your parents, you know, it's like, sure. Oh no, I can relate to this, even though that's not me. For example, I'm a part of a group of people writing books, nonfiction and fiction. And mm-hmm. These guys, I'm a coach who's writing a book, not about coaching necessarily, but they're writers. Like, that's what they do for a living. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them are asking me, how do I get better at interviews? Like, how do I get better at like video and talk? Cause they just want to write all day.
Yeah.
And so this is a whole skill set that I have that is new to them. So that might be something to think about. And you have to think of like, though, what do they need? Where are they needing this? And I'm not saying your side business is necessarily going to be something artistically that you apply to another group. We don't know yet. It could be anything.
Right.
But another thing to ask yourself is, what have people come to you for help with already?
Right.
What am I good at solving for people? Even if it sounds random, like this little thing you do, like, oh my God, every time someone gets a new phone and they're always asking me like how to set it up. And you're like, that's not a business. That's fine. Just put that down. Cause somebody else might be like, oh my God, if you can do that, you could do this.
Right.
So don't judge
your
list. We're just making lists of how the world has already told you you're good at that. You're handy at that. That kind of stuff.
Great. Cool. Thank you.
Yeah. For example, any actor, man, who's good with power tools and can do anything crafty, they could have a whole business of just going in to people's houses after they've done a remodel, because every single contractor leaves like 60 little tiny things, like finishing, like we need to hang this, undone.
Yeah.
The remodel's done, your contractor and subcontractors are all gone. And now there's all these little like handyman jobs, and they could just have this business where they just do a clean sweep, tidying up all these remodels. Oh my God. Lucrative.
Yeah. Cool. Awesome.
Yeah. 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 In another life, I'm going to do that business. But so anything random.
Yeah.
And don't forget about the stuff that seems to you like nothing because it's so easy. It's sort of like, well, can't anybody just like hang a shelf? No. Some people don't want to hang a shelf, even if they could be taught, they don't want to learn. Like, I want to pay for that, you know? Right. And I'm willing to do a lot of other things to be able to pay for that stuff. Mm-hmm. Where somebody else is like, this is stupid. Like, there's people who all they do is hang art in people's homes.
Right.
So much fucking money for it. I know. Organizing clients hire them and I'm like, whoa, that person's here just to hang your art. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So like, let it be in the brainstorm phase. Don't judge anything. Put it all down and then talk to people, make those connections.
Okay. Yeah. Because like, even let's just take self-taping.
Right.
Okay. There's like 6 things at least that you are able to understand and do that particular job.
Right. Sure.
Lighting, sound, adjusting people on camera, making them feel comfortable and all of those things are things.
Yeah.
So you don't put down on paper. I mean, you can. Okay. One of the things on paper is, well, I can help actors self-tape.
Right.
But then break down what enables you to do that. All these little skill sets.
Yeah. Cool. No, that's great. That's great advice as well. Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Yeah. But here's what I know in like, we've talked for like 9 minutes. You're smart. You're articulate. You have a really good brain and you have skills. So there is going to be something that you can do that people will pay you for.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. So keep coming back and keep bringing the ideas and keep being like, I'm thinking about this or what about this? And keep refining it.
I wish I didn't have shifts on Sundays because I can only do the Mondays. So I'm trying to like,
gather. That's why we have the Mondays.
Yeah. I'm like a whale. I'll go down for, 2 hours and come back up for oxygen in a month, but it'll be great. I'll make good progress, I'm sure.
Yes. And you can also submit questions prior to the Sunday.
Okay, and just listen to the recording.
Time I can be like, Brandon, I'll shoot you. Usually when I answer someone's question that's not here, I shoot them a message on the Abundance Bound platform, the Mighty Networks platform. So get on that. And then I can just email you. Hey, it's going to be on the recording.
Perfect. Yeah, no, that's awesome. That's great. I'll definitely follow up. That's one of my hesitation. I was like, no, I can do it all alone. And I'm trying to work on accepting help.
Me too. I had to, that was an arc of a journey. I had to go on.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah.
And that's the trap that smart, capable people fall into a lot. It's like, I'm smart and capable. It can get you really far.
Yeah.
But it's not going to get you all the way there to where you really want to be. Yeah.
Well, it could, but you just go so slow. It's like, might as well just
Exactly.
Boost, you know? Yeah. Great.
Exactly.
Perfect. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Marisol. Thank you, Tricia. Thank you, Brandon. Really good to meet you, Brandon. Thank you, Beth. Talk to you guys later. Okay. Bye.
Thank you.
You're welcome.